You're listening to The Origin of Butter, an original story written, produced, and voiced by Brett Picorni. Copyright 2018. Once upon a time, in a land far ago, there was a good king. This king, however, had one serious flaw. You see, his appetite could rarely be satiated. Only the finest meals prepared by the world's premier chefs could get the job done. But even the top chefs found satisfying the king to be a monumental task. It could definitely not be done nightly, at least not realistically. So they would plan for grand weekend feasts and, in the meantime, give the king plain bread with water during the week. They had told the king that consuming bread and water during the week would allow his people to feast, thus making them happy and healthy. Being the good king, he totally believed them. He didn't suspect that they were throwing a barrage of blandness at his palate in order to overwhelm it come the weekend. And so the good king consumed dry bread and plain water in what he saw as a great sacrifice for the people of his kingdom. This went on for a number of years until one day the good king approached his master chefs.
My dear men and women of the kitchen, over the years you have prepared me the finest meals a king could desire, and I could not be more grateful. I do, however, have something to say. As much as I wish to continue sacrificing for my people, I can no longer live with dry bread. The water is no longer enough to quench my thirst, and alas, the desert that is my weekday tongue can no longer handle the delicate sponge you provide me for nourishment. Although it is spectacular bread, it simply will not do any longer. Please, find an answer to this problem. I will allow you one night to plan tomorrow's dinner, but make no mistake. Tonight is the last night I can give.
The chefs were bewildered. They had never prepared for the good king losing patience with the bread and thus needing to come up with a plan. They still needed to give the good king something bland so the weekend feast would suffice. This something had to be more palatable than plain bread, but not so palatable his expectations would be too high. Chef Gauthier exclaimed,
"Let us make him a fish stew. Fish is not oft prepared for the good king. We shall serve him the same meal of bread and water, but let us pour a ladle of the stew over the bread."
The other chefs applauded this idea and promptly sent a runner to the river to fetch enough fish from a local fisherman to prepare a large pot of stew. That night the stew began and would simmer until dinner the following evening. Upon receiving the stew, the king was cautious.
"This appears to be the same bread and water you've given me for several years. I told you to make something different."
Standing in a line in front of the grand table, the chefs responded as one.
"It is different, good king."
Chef Gauthier then walked to the king and lifted the top of the small loaf of bread to reveal the fish stew inside. The king's eyes widened and a smile crossed his face.
"Wonderful! This smells wonderful! What is it?"
"It is fish, your majesty."
"Fish! A rare treat indeed!"
And so the good king feasted that night. Upon ending the week with fish stew in a bread bowl, the king exclaimed,
"My good chefs, you have outdone yourselves. As strange as it sounds, however, I do miss the bread. Although it is here, the stew has turned it to mush. Thankfully, my mouth is not dry, but alas, I would ask that you find a way to keep the bread intact for next week's dinners."
The chefs were distressed.
"Off with Cotair's head!"
they screamed. Gauthier was never seen from again. The following night, Chef Wellington suggested,
"What if we wrap a fillet of beef with mushroom mince and pastry? The pastry will hold its crispy nature, but will contain the natural juices of the beef."
The other chefs applauded Wellington, and the new dish was born.
"Marvelous! Absolutely marvelous!"
The king was delighted beyond expectations, but come that weekend's feast, he was displeased.
"I have loved the meals of this past week, but they come at too high a price, and alas, must be too laborious, for this weekend's feast seems to lack the love and creativity you so often devote. Please, make this dish only on the most special of occasions."
Chef Wellington was never seen from again. It was at this time the chefs were growing weary, for their futures were in question. Luckily, Chefs Minestrone and Butterworth had been concocting an idea. Butterworth spoke up.
"My companions, it is mine and Chef Minestrone's belief that we were on the right track when we used the bread as a vessel for the fish stew."
To this there were hushed murmurs and the sound of guillotines being sharpened.
"We were close, but not quite there. Now, Chef Minestrone has mastered the art of soup making and has devised a soup composed entirely of cheap vegetables that can be purchased at market or harvested in the forest."
"But what about the bread?"
screamed Chef Bakey.
"Ah yes, the bread," said Chef Butterworth. "I do believe we should slice it."
The murmurs grew louder. The room was vibrant with curious chatter.
"I know. I know. Why would you slice something so easily torn? But please bear with me. I have taken it upon myself to experiment with cream."
"This again,"
shouted Chef Bakey to the chagrin of several of his compatriots.
"Yes," said Butterworth, "and the fruit of my labors is this."
Butterworth held up what appeared to be a solid yellow lump. Gasps filled the silence that ensued.
"Yes, I've done it."
Butterworth then did something none of her fellow chefs had ever done, let alone conceived. She sliced the bread and proceeded to spread the substance along the surface of each slice. She then handed a slice to each chef.
"My God! It's...
Chef Milkster was nearly speechless.
"I'm sorry, Butterworth, for laughing at your aspirations. The biggest foe in your search has been Chef Bakey, and I encouraged his fun poking at your expense. Might I lend you my guillotine for the purpose of taking his head?"
"No,"
said Butterworth.
"We need the Master Baker. His punishment will be knowing how wrong he was and forever humbling himself before my creation."
Chef Bakey was now crying, but not for joy of being given the gift of extended life. No, these joyous tears were over the greatest thing mankind has ever seen. Sliced bread. And not only did this creation appear, but it did so alongside a condiment that complemented the bread so wonderfully, it couldn't be comprehended. The following night, the king awaited anxiously.
"Good king, I am Chef Butter."
"Yes, yes. Please just bring me my dish, Chef Butter. I am very hungry tonight."
"As you wish, sire."
Chef Butterworth brought the king a small covered dish, alongside which Chef Minestrone brought a small bowl. The king started on the soup.
"It is hearty, simple yet satisfying. Is it cheap and quick to make?"
"Yes, your majesty,"
replied Chef Minestrone.
"Excellent,"
roared the king in sheer joy.
"Now, on to what I must assume is the bread."
The king removed the cover from the small dish to reveal a single slice of bread with a strange smear of yellow.
"Chef Butter, this is your doing?"
"Yes, sire,"
replied Chef Butterworth. The good king looked skeptical but intrigued. He took the small slice of bread in his hand and ever so delicately placed it in his mouth. Upon first bite, he swallowed and his hand dropped to the table. His mouth quivered, and a solitary tear formed on his left eye.
"Chef Butter."
"Yes, sire."
"Chef Butter, what? What is this?"
"I have not yet named it, sire."
"You mean to tell me that you created this... this masterpiece?"
"You honor me, sire. And yes, I created it."
Chef Butterworth blushed, ever so gently.
"Then it shall be named after you. Butter."
Butterworth tried to correct the king.
"That's Butterworth."
"Worth what? Is it expensive to produce, Chef Butter?"
No, sire. It took much time to discover, but it is incredibly cheap and simple to produce."
Chefs Butterworth and Minestrone did not lose their heads. Rather, Chef Minestrone became master of stews, and Chef Butter was tasked with creating new dishes with her discovery. But alas, her greatest feat was discovering sliced bread upon which the application of her self-named condiment, butter, was the perfect complement. Brett Picorni here. Thanks for listening, and I really hope you enjoyed this story. I've got a lot more stories up my sleeve, so don't forget to check out my podcast when you get the chance. Again, thank you for listening, and I look forward to bringing more amazing content your way.